Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chief Software Architect for the Microsoft Corporation, Bill Gates.
Thank you. Welcome to the Longhorn PDC. We've been looking forward to this event for a long time. It was fantastic to see the response to this event. Of course, this is a year where most computer-related shows are a lot smaller than they were in the past. And so we weren't sure what to expect when we put up the sign-ups for this PDC. We were amazed that this is actually a record PDC. We had more sign-ups than we've ever had for any PDC. So thanks for your response. It's great to see you all here. When we picked the theme, we didn't realize how apt it would be, that is, making the connection. So I want to thank you for your patience in terms of all the travel problems that took place yesterday getting out here. I know there's still some people who will be filtering in over the course of the day because of those travel challenges. Looking back, the PDC has really ushered in a lot of very important milestones. For example, the PDC in 1992 was really sort of the 32-bit PDC. The PDC in 1996 was the Internet PDC. The PDC in the year 2000 was the beginning of the idea of XML and web services coming to the center. It was our .NET PDC, and it really got that all going. Well, there'll be no doubt what this PDC is about. It's about some imperatives to make software better today. It's about a wave of software that comes out next year. But then it's about the next generation Windows and all the things we're doing around that to make sure that brings computing to a whole new level. The industry has gone in many waves. The original PC wave, the graphics interface, the client server, then the Internet. And a lot of people nowadays are sort of pessimistic about what technology will bring. Of course, we couldn't disagree more with those people. There's no notion that we've reached any limit. In fact, as I'll describe, we believe this is the decade where digital devices will be a part of our lives and the economy in a very deep fashion, and we have not had that in the past. The productivity, the benefits, the opportunity for software developers is stronger in this decade than in any other decade. So this next wave is being driven forward. I'll talk about the hardware advances that are equipping us for this next wave. I'll talk a lot about the web services capabilities, that idea of connecting software anywhere on the Internet to talk to other software anywhere on the Internet and do it in a very rich way. We see that as fundamental. The new applications will have that at their heart and soul. Certainly, we believe in this next wave, and we're not just saying that. We're showing with our investment levels how sincere we are about that. Over the last 4 years, Microsoft's R&D budget has more than doubled. And that budget is focused on the things you're going to hear about today. It's focused on making a Longhorn real and all the milestones that get us to that point. Now, why is it that some people are questioning how fast technology will move forward and the benefits of it? Well, certainly we have a different economic environment. You know, it's not the time period where everybody has to do a website without even asking why, where every company has to just drive forward and use the latest technology. Technology decisions are based on the expectation now that they're justified by business value. And that's a much healthier environment. That's the environment we'll probably have the rest of our lives. So it's good. As we're going to IT departments, they're saying to us, what can you do with software to save us cost and complexity in order for us to take resources and apply them to these new activities, whether it's wireless, tablets, web service applications. They want to drive forward with both savings and driving into these new projects. There's a lot of things that during the late 90s people didn't seem to be as concerned about. The number of moving parts, the difficulty of keeping things up and running, that now they're very, very focused on those things. Certainly in terms of the fundamentals, the issues around spam, the issues around security, viruses coming in and causing downtime, those are very prominent in people's minds. And so unless we show that with software we can reduce those problems, make them not be be significant problems, we won't be able to drive forward. So in a sense, you can think of those as headwinds. We also need to make the key advances. The boundaries we've got between different devices, between the structured world of information and the unstructured world of email and communications, that boundary is too difficult. We don't have model-based approaches where we can just inspect software and understand exactly what it is and what policy it should be executed under. So breaking down the boundaries and meeting these high expectations on the fundamentals will drive us forward. I mentioned security is a very key element of that, and the theme that Microsoft is using to show how this is a critical area for our entire industry is trustworthy computing. Certainly there's a lot of things that Microsoft has to do. We, in terms of inspecting our code, making sure the APIs aren't vulnerable, doing that with some new static analysis and proof tools, that's a very important thing. Having testing methodologies so that whenever systems are improved, you understand whether or not there could possibly be regressions against the applications that are out there. Some technologies that allow that to be done extremely reliably and very quickly have had to be invented. Those are very, very important. So the whole perception nowadays is around, you know, is this really changing? We have a number of things that are weak links in the security picture. Passwords over time will not be adequate to deal with critical information. The fact that email, you don't really know if it came from the person it appears to come from. And even the fact that internet packets can be spoofed. So at many levels of the standards that we have, we need to add security capabilities. We've been very focused on this, and in fact, just a few weeks ago at our partners' conference, Steve Ballmer laid out a roadmap that talked about the things we're doing, even in the very short run, to change security vulnerability. In addition to driving the code quality forward, there are two very important techniques that Steve talked about. The first is making sure that when there are critical security improvements to software, that those are propagated very rapidly and to a very high percentage of systems. Certainly, we've done a mea culpa saying that we did not make that easy enough. People whose software were up to date did not experience the problems because the problems were engineered, seeing actually the fixes that we did as we or other people notified us that there were things that we needed to update. And so getting updating to be common sense is very important. With Windows XP SP1, we put in the auto-updating capability. we hope that all of you are taking advantage of that. We see that as extremely important. We are making substantial changes to auto-updating, the size of the patches, making sure that only the critical security things flow through, and the way we check to make sure we're not having regression. All of those processes are undergoing additional investment and substantial improvement. The other technology that's very important is firewalls. And when I say firewall, I mean that in a very broad sense. I mean scanning files that come through email or FTP. I mean being able to look at a machine that's been connected up to the internet, and when that machine VPNs in, being able easily to scan it to make sure it doesn't have a problem and that software's up to date. Or perhaps taking that same machine and carrying it in to the corporation and connecting it up then it's behind the firewall, and again, that needs to be scanned. So we have an update to the client that turns the firewall on by default. It's got changes in Outlook Express and IE for safer email and browsing. It uses some of the new hardware features in the newer chips to block a large class of exploits. It changes the way we do some of the code protection. We recompile a lot of the key modules. That goes into beta later this year, SP2. And then on the server, a lot of these being able to catch the cases where you need to scan remotely or locally, and then simple configuration where you can say what the type of the server is and have all things locked down according to exactly that use. Again, we'll beta that in the first half of next year. So think about firewall and updating as two key areas that we're going to make sure that those are done very, very well and give people tools to make sure that they won't have any problems because they're applying those techniques. One thing that's been amazing at Microsoft is the impact that our monitoring data has had on how we prioritize our software work. I'm sure you've all seen in XP that whenever an application or the system malfunctions, you get the ability to send a report back to Microsoft. We get a lot of those reports, and we've created very good data management systems to go in and look at those things and therefore understand what drivers aren't reliable. We have really changed our relationship with the video driver people because as we noticed that some were quite unreliable compared to others, we talked with the manufacturers who buy those video drivers and hardware and said, look, we've got to work together to drive several orders of magnitude additional quality into this part of the system. And so between Microsoft, the manufacturers, the video companies, that happened. I've got here a chart of a network piece of software that when it first was being monitored under our system, had a lot of crashes taking place. And as they got the data from us, analyzed those, passed updates through an updating infrastructure, including Windows Update, the improvements were very, very dramatic there. We allow anyone who has an application that runs on Windows to sign up and get the reports that relate to their application. That we've got the winqual.microsoft.com where people can do that. To date, we've seen a lot of that activity from the driver manufacturers, but we want to see even more at the application level. So it gets us working together on anything where a user's not having a great experience. Recently, with the Office 2003, we extended this idea of getting feedback data to go far beyond just malfunctions. We extended it to messages that might be cryptic or long delays or help information that wasn't helpful. And now we're monitoring all of those things, and that made a substantial difference in terms of what we did in Office 2003. So using the magic of software to drive a very rich feedback loop, I think that's the key direction for our industry in terms of well-designed software and super high quality, still allowing the rich ecosystem we have where many pieces come together. It's not monolithic, but it's drivers for many people, the applications for many people, the hardware for many people, preserving that richness and yet making sure that when it comes to the end user, they're having a great experience. This is the approach that will give us the best of both worlds there. Well, I mentioned that hardware innovation is one of the positive factors that drives us towards the new wave. That's been true of all the previous waves. You know, graphics interface, that wouldn't have been practical without the 386 and 486. We needed that advance. The internet wave, the idea that you could connect across the globe and send information without even monitoring how much of that was going on, that required the unbelievable advances in optic fiber, bringing communications down, costs down very dramatically, sort of at the same kind of exponential rate we've had with chip improvements through Moore's Law. In the next years ahead, these hardware improvements are moving full speed ahead. Despite the fact the IT industry is economically in a tougher period than many times in the past. These innovations have not slowed down, whether it's the high-capacity disk that we can take for granted, the move towards more processors, higher clock speed, the move to 64-bit. We're very excited about the work going on here. The Itanium work, bringing 64-bit capability to the x86. Both of those are things that we are supporting full bore, and we're seeing great performance come out of those things. Another enhancement that hasn't been talked about very broadly is the fact that these next generation of processors will build in a new security capability called, kind of obscurely, Next Generation Secure Computing Base, or NGSCB is the acronym for that. What that does is it allows you to still run arbitrary third-party software, but be able to make security guarantees that the decryption keys and some software is running in such a way that that third-party software is isolated from it. And so when you think about medical records or confidential business information, the idea that computing can preserve the privacy and the rules around those things, we think that's very important. And it's been a great collaboration between the software companies and the hardware companies to come up with the standards that will make this available. We don't just have numeric improvements, speed and memory. We also have computing being used in a qualitatively different way. The wireless networking that has exploded through Wi-Fi, that, whether it's in the home or at work or in places business people spend time, that's something we'll be able to take for granted. The fact that the computer turns on quickly and the network's always there, we think that that really changes the way you think about these things. Broadband penetration is going up every year. In fact, cable and DSL have been on a very fast growth ramp in all the developed countries, some lagging behind, Korea at over 60% sort of leading the way and showing some of the phenomena that develop when you have that kind of penetration. So a personal computer in less than 3 years will be a pretty phenomenal device. The graphics capability, some of which we have in today's machines and not exploited by all applications, will be even better. The memory, the speed, none of these things are the constraint. In fact, I think it's simple to say where the constraint is in this era. It's not the microprocessor like it was when we needed performance for GUI. It's not the cost of networking like we had to worry about when the internet came along. Here, it's software. Software that is managing itself, software that's reducing the complexity, and that's really today's theme, getting the platform to be rich enough so that this all comes together. Microsoft talks about this decade as the digital decade. What we mean by that is that activities like listening to music, organizing your photos, annotating those, sharing them, buying products, all of these things will be dramatically driven by software in a way that they were not at the start of the decade. When we map this into business productivity, we can say that the increase in productivity will be much stronger in this decade even than it was in the last, even though it won't be accompanied by some of that same hype. Now, part of that is that the expectations of the last decade, some of them required more time. The idea of e-commerce required a new platform. What is that platform? It's the industry standards of web services and companies like Microsoft with .NET creating tools that make building those applications practical, creating the standards for the exchange of information. In this decade, there's no doubt we'll see every form factor advance, and the form factors are very complementary, from the wrist size to the pocket size, the tablet size, the desk size, to the wall size as well. And so across a large range of activities, whether it's organizing calendars with friends, scheduling business appointments, understanding sales results, filling out what used to be paper forms, searching for information. All of these things will get software involved in a very deep way. Now, we've had too much complexity, too many different commands, different ways that information's been stored that people have to understand. So in order to achieve this, we not only need to solve things like security and buying applications, but also a lot of unification of the different things that have existed on the PC. We certainly can think of this as having three characteristics that I'll go through: connected systems, information-driven, and complete end-to-end experiences. Connected systems, we can think of lots of different networks. The whole customer relationship management thing is about a network of customers. Social networks that we're seeing through neat software approaches. Personal networks, scientific networks, connecting up to see data. For example, what has been done using web services in the whole field of astronomy, where you have all the databases at different sites and you can reason about principles of astronomy and gather information to see if the data is consistent with that. Connecting those things together so you don't think about the physical locations, so that it's easy to set up and easy to secure, there is some deep capability that is required in the platform for these connected systems. What are the breakthroughs? Well, first and foremost, we have the advanced web services. I hope all of you have been following the progress in this area. It was very exciting just in the last month to have an event that both Microsoft and IBM created where we showed IBM's WebSphere and Microsoft's Windows.net connecting up with deep security, transaction capabilities, and reliable messaging. Those are the key features that characterize the advanced web services, and those specifications are in a very strong form today. We're soliciting comments, having workshops, even doing interoperability fests, and we hope to have those finalized in standards bodies by the end of next year. The workflow capabilities come in once you can do the connections and exchange the information, tracking the state of things, and not just at a programmatic level, letting end users come in and define workflows, see the state of these things. That will be part of the platform. Workflows often transition from a pure software-driven state to a user-driven state. And so making that boundary a simple one is something that we've got to do in the platform. Distributed management. Management software historically has been a whole other set of concepts. It gets layered on top. It has its own way of doing data storage and inspection, self-description. You have to read those manuals, and it just is a world apart. With web services, we're not going to do that. We're going to use the mainstream architecture to build in a level of management capabilities that goes beyond what traditional management systems did, encoding things like policies on how quickly you expect something to execute, encoding policies on how you deal with certain error conditions and so that as much automatic activity can take place as possible, understanding what kind of failures might take place and being able to model those so it's not just thousands of error messages when, say, the network connection goes down. These technologies will have to work with systems that are disconnected. You may have seen what we've done with email in the latest round of Exchange and Outlook, where it's cached mode. That is, we will replicate whenever we can, but it works great offline. We don't have the notion of the mail client being in online mode or offline mode. It's always working, and whatever connectivity is there, it will go out and get the new information. That sort of architecture needs to be available to all the applications. Likewise, peer-to-peer networking. Peer-to-peer is very, very important, and it's something that the rich messaging architecture built into the system will have to support. And that's why we'll be able to think of computing in a different way, because those connection things won't have to be recreated by every piece of software. Users want to manage information. We've had the information in silos. Mail is separate than the files, is separate from the web pages. And the information has not been structured. All the operating system knows about files is that they're binary streams. That's it. Something like the address book is at the application level, not at the platform level. And so if you want to share address book across applications, you can't even do that. The idea of rich searching. The search command is different in every application. So learning how to search mail, navigate mail, is different than learning that for files. When you get attachments sent to you, storing those, understanding the different versions you might be getting, it's very complex. And so just dealing with information has not been very rich. We don't have standard schemas for the concepts. We had the clipboard, but we haven't gone beyond the clipboard to structure the information, to make replication and searching just a very straightforward thing that you expect out of the system. So in the next wave, we've got to have those rich views. We've got to have content indexing. We've got to unify the store. We've got to have the schemas allow you to classify things so that things even appear to organize without you getting involved. We see a little bit of this in the Outlook client where you have search folders so that if you want to see all your mail from one person, you just click on that folder. You don't have to drop something in there because it's essentially a standing query. And so information can be in many locations. It's just a matter of defining the criteria, not having to move it around. The ability to intermix files and mail and notes into one hierarchy that's organized the way that you want it to be is a very different thing. And this ability to say, when do you want to be notified, what we call information agent, that, okay, if something new comes into this folder, that's urgent for me, contact me on my cell phone or interrupt what I'm doing, depending on the context, that again needs to be in the platform. Because if you don't do information agent in the platform, every application is constantly trying to get on top and put up its toast and alert the user, and there's no framework for making sure that the user's time is what you optimize for, letting them be in control, not just for mail, but for all the different events that take place in the system. We need to bring this together with full end-to-end experiences. That means the visualization being richer and more engaging, means taking reading and having it be very attractive on the screen so that the tasks you do on paper shift very substantially towards doing those on the screen. Even things like managing subscriptions for people or the very rich search and replications that I talked about are key to these experiences. We will build speech capabilities into the system, a big advancement for that in Longhorn in both recognition and synthesis. Real time, you're seeing that become more and more important. We've got now the instant messaging capabilities. We've got real-time connection add-ons. But this is something that every application will use in the next generation. I talked about reading and visualization. The hardware level is key here. These qualitative changes where desktop displays will be either very large or multi-screen. Three 21-inch LCDs or a single 26-inch LCD will cost only $500 or $600 in 3 or 4 years. And so we have to think about managing the windows and letting people see a lot more than they can today. The graphics processor I mentioned will be a lot better there. So we can use all of this for ink, animation, sound processing, a different way of interacting with the system. Two examples that I like here. A consumer example is managing your memories, not just your photos, but all of the timeline and schedules and annotations and movies that you make, and making those rich and easy to navigate. That's something that people are interested in, and it unifies a lot of things that have been separate. Until we had a lot of this database technology, we couldn't unify those things. The photo application stored things its way, the sound application its way, and they were not brought together. Another is thinking about meetings in the future, how you prepare for them, schedule them, the meeting itself with people not local, using things like live meeting to connect up and share, and then after the meeting, having that transcript that's made automatically, automatic direction, where you take the audio signal and know which visual view would be most appropriate, and therefore let people watch the meeting later, but watch it faster than in real time, and just watch the parts that they're interested in. And so each of these is a pretty dramatic example that drives the platform and can make a very big difference. So it's going to come together in Longhorn. This is our next major release. Jim will make sure it's very clear we're at the beginning of this process. You know, we're opening it up to you, showing you what we're thinking, because we need your feedback. We need your involvement to get this right. This is going to be a very big release, the biggest release of this decade, the biggest since Windows 95. We're tackling three different areas. The fundamentals, that means the security, the auto installation, applications not interfering with each other. There's a lot in the fundamental area. Jim has very deep passion for this, and he'll be going through all the different things that we've been able to do there. It's an advance for customers, being able to connect up, being able to have your information appear on all your different devices, having that information structured without you doing a lot of work, having less commands despite the new richness that's there, and using capabilities around the agent to take and put you in control so that understanding your privacy and what mail's coming into you, you feel like you have a few simple things you do that put you back in the driver's seat there, so you have confidence and control. For developers, we want to take the things that people have had to duplicate and bring those into the platform so you can focus on other capabilities. So faster development and driven by the major new subsystems. Here's the simple diagram of Longhorn. You'll see this many times over the course of the next few days. The fundamentals, of course, are down in the base. Avalon's the presentation system. This is a timely advance. GDI, user, those are cool things. But those were really architected with memory limitations and graphics limitations from a long time ago. We're even seeing some applications go around and use DirectX, like Movie Maker does, to try and get a new level of visual capability. But it's time we brought that all into the mainstream. The clear type reading capabilities that a few applications are using, and that you know some people don't even know are there to turn on, even when they're using that LCD display. Well, we can go a lot further by designing it in. So it's a built from the bottom up, built around XML, new display system. It's organized around a compositing approach, very rich, very extensible. WinFS, this is unified storage. Some of you here have heard me talk about unified storage for more than a decade. The idea of taking the XML flexibility, database technology, and getting it into the file system, that's been a holy grail for me for quite some time. And here it is. Thank goodness we've got the powerful systems to be able to do this. Thank goodness we have the evolution around XML and user interface capabilities. So that this can all come together. And then finally, the piece that takes a lot of things that were extra cost options, queuing software, transaction software, pub-sub software, and takes this new messaging approach and makes it built into the platform. So connecting up to between applications, whether it's within the system or across the entire globe, that is very straightforward. We have three different waves of software over the years ahead. We have the software that's out now, and this year had more new product introductions than any year in Microsoft's history. Just what we call the Office system that was introduced in New York last week had a lot of different pieces, driving XML into the Office platform, letting document sharing work on the server with SharePoint in new ways, bringing real-time in. So a lot of neat things that we can take advantage of today, including real focus on the fundamentals for even the existing software packages. You'll hear a lot tomorrow about the wave that includes the next generation of SQL and Visual Studio, and then, of course, most of what this event is about is Longhorn. But targeting your work against each of those waves, we think, is pretty important so you don't miss any of the opportunities. We're already seeing some neat things happening in the marketplace. PC growth is back at a reasonably healthy level this year. The kind of applications we're seeing on the smaller devices, this is a Motorola phone called an MPX 200. Of course, it's got .NET built in. neat new things. These are really just coming into the marketplace, but the popularity has been pretty incredible. Motorola is a new partner for us, just announced. Also, Samsung has this, which is their i600, which is a very rich media-focused experience. So in the mobile scenario, the second generation of tablets coming along, 64-bit servers, connection out to Xbox with some of the things we're doing there. All of these opportunities are starting to unfold, but it's going to take a major new platform leap to be able to have the full capabilities that these things demand. So quick summary. First, the fundamentals. We've got some online things that talk about applications and security applications and working with software updating, which for us is our SUS and SMS products, management packs around our MOM capability, all of those things fitting into that fundamentals area. Designing around web services, making sure you've got that as your extensibility architecture, your connection architecture. You're seeing us drive forward with that. Using managed code for any new things you do, and yet we allow managed code to work with existing code. Exploiting the client, delivering data in the form of XML to the client, and then having local rich rendering while still being able to have mapping to HTML for reach. That's something we're making very simple. Eric Rutter tomorrow will really go through how that approach is becoming mainstream. The final point is we want your involvement in telling us what we've got right with Longhorn, what we've got wrong with Longhorn. We've got years of work here, and it's going to be shaped by your involvement in the community activities. And we've done a lot of new things, including the ways we've refined this event, getting our developers online, to really make sure that the community component drives Longhorn to be exactly what it should be. So I'm excited about the opportunity, thrilled to have you all here kicking off the Longhorn generation. Thank you.